Gum or Joe by Gardner's Bay. This is Tabealpot.com. The Week in Georgia and English coming at you from lovely Amagansett, New York. Today is Thursday, the 7th of August, 2014. On this date in 626, the Avar and Slav armies leave the siege of Constantinople. 1789, the honestly and frankly named United States Department of War is established. After the Second World War, right about the time George Orwell's 1984 came out, it was renamed the Department of Defense. 1964, the U.S. Congress passes the Gulf of Tonkin Resolution, which stated that U.S. boats had been fired on first by North Vietnamese boats, which had not, in fact, been the case. 1987, long-distance American swimmer Lynn Cox goes from Alaska to Siberia across the Bering Straits for the first time that a swimmer did this, without a wetsuit, by the way. 1990, the first President Bush orders Operation Desert Shield. 1998, U.S. embassies in Nairobi and Dar es Salaam are bombed, causing, among other things, the U.S. Congress to create a mandatory setback for U.S. embassies so that the U.S. embassy in Tbilisi, that used to be in the Orbeliani Palace near the Dry Bridge Market, had to move to its present sad location in the Northwest Territories. 1999, the Chechnya-based Islamic International Brigade invades neighboring Dagestan. 2005, a trapped Russian sub is rescued by the British when the Russians can't deal with it, only 5 years after the Kursk disaster. 2008, Georgia begins shelling Skin Valley in South Ossetia. Birthdays today are archaeologist Louis Leakey, radio personality Garrison Keillor, spy Jonathan Pollard, and actress Charlize Theron. Today is Assyrian Martyrs Day, named after the massacre by the Iraqi government of 3,000 Assyrians in the village of Simele in 1933. On a related note, our thoughts are with the surrounded 40,000 Yezids up on the mountain, surrounded by ISIS forces. They have no water. Let's hope that they remember that Iraqi citizens do not need visas to enter Georgia and they can make it to safety somewhere. Today is just me, Mark Mullen. Thanks again for those posting to our forum, particularly from Dustin, saying that cigarette excise will be going up in the coming years, according to the IMF. If you'd like to comment or ask a question, go to tabealpod.com or send us an email at tabealpod@gmail.com. To subscribe to the podcast, go to tabealpod.com. Scroll down the screen on the right-hand side below the column of tags. There's a little rectangular icon that says iTunes. Click it, and you'll get all the new Tabealpod episodes. If you still have trouble, let us know by posting a comment on our website or emailing us. Sometimes we have a little difficulty with iTunes, and we want to make sure that we get that straight. And don't forget Tabealpod.com's database, which has resources for non-natives living in Tbilisi. We will try to keep it up to date, but if you have new resources, you can post below on our forum, and we'll update the categories. Even the most seasoned veteran will learn a few new things. Check it out at www.tabealpod.com/database. On the 2nd of August, Dato Narmania officially began his duties as mayor of Tbilisi. Narmania named candidates for deputy mayors Alexander Margishvili, Nina Khatizkatsi, Aluda Goglichidze, among others. Margishvili recently served as deputy minister of culture and was dismissed from the post by Prime Minister Garibashvili on the 21st of July cabinet reshuffle. On the 5th of July, Margishvili commented on his Facebook page in relation to former Tbilisi Mayor Gigi Ugulava's arrest the previous day, saying that the wheels of justice are turning. Goglichidze previously was deputy minister of education under Georgi Margvelashvili. Nina Khatizkatsi worked at the hardest working NGO in the Caucasus, Transparency International Georgia, for many years, but was let go in July 2012. Many of you may have heard of the drama surrounding that in which I was involved, being the chair of Transparency International Georgia. Narmania also presented candidates for Tbilisi Gum Gebeli heads and for Tbilisi municipality offices for the Department of Transportation, Economy, Ecology, Culture, Law, Finance, Infrastructure, Architecture, and Security. The candidates were presented to Tbilisi City Council on the 4th of August. According to information from TI Georgia, one of Narmania's candidates for the post of head of social and cultural work of Tbilisi Municipality was previously indicted for misuse of public funds. On February 2011, Gela Chiviashvili and other officials working for this service agency were arrested for misappropriating budget funds intended for public social insurance, amounting to some 5 million lari. Chivashvili was released with a plea bargain. According to TI, a person cannot be appointed to a high position in the public service if he or she was tried, and calls on the Tbilisi City Council to look into the case. Justifying himself before a Tbilisi Sakrabulo session, Chivashvili said that it was proven by various ministers that he had no association with the case. By the way, Mike Vidis Politra and Georgian Journal piece this week says that the mayor should work on transparency, housing regulation, transportation and pedestrian rights, utilities being electricity and water. Following up on last week's story about Misha being criminally charged for cracking down on any government protesters and raiding the Ahmadi TV station in November 2007, on the 2nd of August, Tbilisi City Court accepted a motion by the prosecutor's office and ordered Misha's pretrial detention in absentia. A preliminary court hearing is set for the 22nd of September. An appeal by Misha to overturn the pretrial detention was turned down by the appeal court on the 6th of August. On the 5th of August, the prosecutor's office said that it is filing new criminal charges against Misha. He's charged with organizing an attack on then-opposition member of parliament Valery Gelashvili, who was severely beaten by masked armed men in Tbilisi in 2005. Ivana Medvedevashvili, who was interior minister in 2005, will face charges in the same case. This was pretty important. Gelashvili was sort of a big guy, business person and whatever. He supposedly made some comments about Sandra Misha's wife, and I have no idea if they have any proof about this, but this is the first time that I know of where there was somebody with opposition connections who was fairly high profile, just sort of getting beaten by somebody that could certainly plausibly be connected with interior ministry people. I hope that that case is prosecuted clearly and that they've got evidence for whatever they're saying happened. Misha released a video address from the U.S. on the 1st of August before the court ruling, saying, quote, ahead of the anniversary of the August war, Putin could not have imagined a more desirable present than the Georgian authorities ordering my arrest. This will be one of the most shameful pages of Georgia's history. I am not going to turn up for summoning by the prosecutor's office controlled by a Gazprom shareholder, end quote. UNM condemned the ruling for pretrial detention. Minority Leader Dato Bakradze said on the 2nd of August that the prosecution of former President Misha was politically motivated and would have a negative effect on Georgia's NATO and EU integrations. U.S. Department of State said that it is concerned by the filings of criminal charges against Misha and two more U.S. senators. Democratic Senator Chris Murphy and Republican Senator Ron Johnson released a joint statement saying that they are deeply disappointed. Likewise, Polish Foreign Ministry said in a statement released the 1st of August that the move had the nature of selective justice and that tensions in domestic politics could make it difficult for Georgia to move closer to European and Euro-Atlantic structures. The High Representative for the Union of Foreign Affairs and Social and Security Policy, Kathy Ashton, and European Commissioner for Enlargement, Stefan Füle, released a written statement calling on the current Georgian government to focus on the country's future rather than its past. Irakli Kharabashvili said that prosecuting Misha will have no effect whatsoever on Georgia's European integration process, that whatever happens regarding the former president will not outweigh our relationship with any country. He continued that, quote, statements at the prosecutor's office should not investigate crimes possibly committed by former high-ranking officials are directly in conflict with the democratic value of the rule of law. If we declare that we want to build modern democratic institutions where everyone is equal before the law, then no one should be above the law. End quote. Justice Minister Teotsu Lukiani staunchly defended the government's decisions, writing in a letter to the Wall Street Journal that the investigation isn't about politics, it's about justice. Fair enough. But one thing I would say is rather than looking at whether things are investigated, because everybody agrees that they should be investigated. I don't know anybody that says that they should not be investigated. But we should look at pretrial detention. And looking at how pretrial detention is sought by prosecutors for people connected with the national movement, in comparison with some people who committed some fairly serious crimes related to the elections, and especially in terms of, for example, people getting beaten up, somehow pretrial detention doesn't seem to be sought as enthusiastically in those cases. So it's more has to do with the impartiality, but I would say the impartiality of pretrial detention rather than investigation is what should be looked at. Georgian and Azerbaijani football fans clashed during a match in Baku on the 31st of July. The game was a qualification match for UEFA Europe League between Chihuda FC from Western Georgia and Baku Neftchi PFK. Fans of Chihuda displayed a flag showing the Azerbaijani territory of Sangilo as part of a Georgian map and was marked, "This is Georgia." Sangilo is a historically Georgian territory given to the Azerbaijan Soviet Socialist Republic in the early 1920s. Other historical regions in Georgia were also marked on the map, among them the lands of Tauklarjeti, now in Turkey, Lore, which is a part of Armenia, and Sochi. Very mature. I wonder who set that whole thing up. After the match, another brawl broke out between the Georgian fans and Azerbaijani police. About 10 Georgian football fans were detained during the clashes. Several Georgian journalists were also detained, among them employees of TV3, Maestro and Imedi, while filming the brawl between the police and Chihuda fans. They were forced to erase the footage and were then released along with the detained Georgians. The incident prompted the president of Georgia and Azerbaijan to speak by phone. Prime Minister Khadabashvili released a statement regarding Georgia's friendship and partnership with Azerbaijan. The UEFA issued a 15,000 euro fine to Chihuda FC. Berdia Shikakidze, the president of Chihuda, apologized for the conduct of the football fans. A number of NGOs, united under the name No to Phobia, demanded the interior and sports ministries take a tougher position against these sports and ethnic-related incidents, saying that their lack of reaction is dangerous and will encourage the same type of inappropriate conduct from football fans and players in the future. As a reminder, a week earlier on the 24th of July, fans clashed during a match in Tbilisi between Chihuda and Turkey's Bursa after a Georgian footballer who scored a goal insulted the Turkish fans in the stadium. There was also a scuffle between Turkish and Georgian journalists in the media room. There will be another match between Chihuda and Neftchi on the 7th of August in Tbilisi. Let's take a look at how that goes and whether the Interior Ministry cares. On the 1st of August, Parliament rejected two Supreme Court judges that were nominated by President Margvelashvili. Candidates Nino Bakakuri and Zurab Zlierishvili needed at least 76 votes to be approved for their position. 29 members of Parliament voted in favor of Bakakuri and 27 voted for Zlierishvili. Lawmaker Zakaria Kuznashvili said that the opinion within the Parliament parliamentary majority group over the nominations was divided. There was no meeting of Georgian Dream lawmakers to agree to a joint position over the issue. Margvelashvili said that blaming a lack of coordination in the Georgian Dream parliamentary majority was not an excuse, since the nominees were endorsed by the Parliamentary Committee for Human Rights at its session on the 23rd of July. He described the lawmakers' decision as absolutely incomprehensible and reiterated that he and his administration selected the nominees based on their impartiality, political neutrality, and professionalism. Margvelashvili provided over a session of the National Security Council on the 1st of August. The meeting was convened to discuss Georgia's preparation for the NATO summit in Wales in September. Prime Minister Khadabashvili did not attend the session, although Security Council Secretary Irina Imerilashvili said that the Prime Minister had initially confirmed with her that he would. Prime Minister's office said that Khadabashvili never confirmed that he would participate. It was the first meeting of the National Security Council since Margvelashvili became president in November 2013. The role of the council has been somewhat sidelined by the creation, which is its purpose, of the Security and Crisis Management Council late last year, which is chaired by the Prime Minister. Always a good idea to have two different bodies responsible for managing crises. On the 4th of August, Prime Minister Irakli Khadabashvili commented to a group of students about the state of the Georgian media and NGOs. He said that the level of media freedom in Georgia is quite high, yet the quality is very low. And the same goes for civil society. Prime Minister elaborated that strong, objective, unbiased civil society organizations are important for providing government oversight, but that they also often show bias. He said that one recently visiting EU official noted that the leading Georgian NGOs were defending the opposition UNM party just because it was now weak. Zarabashvili's own remark was that these NGOs often fail to distinguish where the line of objectiveness is drawn. Likewise, low-quality, this is a quote, low-quality media sources will continue to be with biased reporting, lies, and deliberately misleading people, and they will not help the country develop, end quote. He said that when one of the television stations, which he did not specify, was making bad reportage, according to him, others followed suit, making even worse reportage on the same topic because, quote, they think that if they make balanced and objective reporting, they will be accused of lobbying the government, which is absurd, end quote. So how the oversight is supposed to happen by these NGOs and media is not clear if, when they are critical, they are considered biased. Not sure. Writing in the Financial Times on the 6th of August, NATO Secretary General Anders Fogh Rasmussen accused Russia of challenging the international world order by stirring unrest in Ukraine, Moldova, and Georgia, and that the world should not sit by and watch Russia continue to disrupt world peace. As a result, quote, NATO is needed more than ever. At the upcoming NATO summit in Wales, we are determined to show that NATO means business, end quote. Yeah, exactly. NATO means business, whether or not it has any military deterrent aspect to its very lucrative business dealings is another question. Likewise, on the 7th of August, British Prime Minister David Cameron called on NATO member states to provide more practical support to non-NATO member states and urged them to agree on new defense capacity building missions in non-member states, including Georgia. They should use the Wales summit to agree on how NATO can respond to and deter existing threats, including Russian aggression. I actually spoke to the defense minister about a week ago, and he said that the Americans are coming up with just some of that support related to training and in that sort of thing. He also said that Chuck Hagel, the U.S. defense minister, secretary of defense, is going to be showing up in Georgia soon. On the 29th of July, the U.S. introduced another round of sanctions against Russia for causing insecurity in Ukraine, furthering sanctions that were introduced on the 16th of July. The sanctions target United Shipbuilding Corporation, a Russian state-owned shipbuilding company with an asset freeze and a prohibition from doing business with U.S. people. Three Russian banks, Bank of Moscow, Russian Agricultural Bank, also known as Rosalkozel Bank, and VTB Bank, OAO, a policy of denial of export licenses for certain items that may be used in Russia's energy sector for exploration or production from deep water, Arctic, or shale projects that have the potential to produce oil, and the suspension of credit that encourages exports to Russia. Some of these sanctions affect Americans doing business in Georgia, and AmCham held a meeting to discuss. The executive board of the IMF pledged $154 million standby agreement economic assistance program to Georgia on the 5th of August. About $62 million will be distributed immediately, while the remaining amount will be phased over the duration of the 36-month program, subject to reviews. The program aims to reduce macroeconomic vulnerabilities, increase policy buffers, and support growth while making the economy more resilient to external shocks. Azerbaijan postponed the implementation of new restrictions for cars entering the country from Georgia until the 16th of August. Georgian officials said that the reason is because of a need to inform Georgians about the new rules. In January 2014, Azerbaijan decided to restrict allowing cars that do not comply with Euro 4 standards. A new regulation came into force on the 1st of August. Georgian cars going to Azerbaijan on Friday, the 1st of August, had problems at the border. Cars that did not comply with the new standards were not let through by Azerbaijan's border guards. Nino Girgobiani, spokesman for the Interior Ministry, said that most problems were on the border through Lagodechi, since the cars crossing there are largely taxis. On the 2nd of August, people demonstrated in the village of Vertslyshche near Gurjani, where 4,000 people are without running water for 2 months. Villagers must walk several kilometers to the nearest well to get water. There's often a crowd and a long wait time. The other option is to buy a ton of water for 20 lari. According to the protesters, the new local government promised to solve the problem within 2 days, but 2 weeks passed with nothing done. A mine worker died from an electrical shock on Tuesday night, the 5th of August, in Chiatura, a mining town in western Georgia. According to Tamas Doliberidze, the president of Georgia's Metallurgy, Mining, and Chemical Industry Works Trade Unions, engineer Zaliko Temeladze was trying to repair a locomotive when he touched an uninsulated cable. The trade union representative said it's unknown why the cables were without insulation and why the worker was alone in the area and will hold an independent investigation. President of Turkey Erdogan recently categorized the nationalities of Georgian and Armenian as insults. In televised remarks on the 5th of August, Erdogan repeatedly emphasized the religious and ethnic background of his political rivals, saying that all people should openly declare their affiliations. Just got to know who everybody is here. In response to a journalist's question, he responded, quote, "You wouldn't believe the things they have said about me. They said I am Georgian. They have said even uglier things. They called me an Armenian," end quote. Oh, yes. The government is launching a charity fund that will be financed through voluntary donations from the salaries of public sector employees as well as private donations. The charity, called the Solidarity Fund, will cover treatment for cancer patients as well as other expensive medical treatment for children. Additional donations from the business sector would allow the service to become available for adults' treatment and create suitable infrastructure for people with disabilities. Government Administration Deputy Head Nino Kobachidze explained that they expect more than 400,000 lari to be donated each month. The fund will be chaired by Prime Minister Garibashvili, and the group will be comprised of the Minister of Labor, Health and Social Affairs, deputies from the Ministry of Justice, Ministry of Finance and Economy, as well as UNDP in Georgia and the World Bank. According to Archimandrite Father Antimos, in Anaklia, there will be a peaceful rally against the Kazantip Music Festival on the 14th of August, organized by the local parish. Antimos explained that the freedom of everything, including drugs, sex, and pornography, is not acceptable by the Orthodox Church and will be the downfall of a Christian society. No mention of sodomy, unfortunately, in this demonstration, but if anyone goes there and hears of any sodomy discussions, please inform tpeelpod.com. More than 5 tons of cannabis were seized by police in a drug bust in eastern Georgia on the 4th of August. Law enforcement officers arrested a 30-year-old man who had a greenhouse in the village of Uzuntala in Kakheti, where he grew the plants. The company Mahdi Group will invest $12 million in the hotel business in Batumi. The company owns the Sanapito and Marina hotels and will soon open another 4-star hotel, Marina Coliseum, in Batumi. Construction of the hotel is already completed. The Coliseum-shaped building has 10 floors and 107 rooms. The average price will be $100 a room. Georgian tuberculosis patients are traveling to France to receive a highly specialized treatment for their disease and are cured, according to a special report from Studio Monitor. It's a very interesting report that everybody should take a look. Studio Monitor is the place to watch for interesting stuff that nobody else is talking about. Patients protested in 2012 to receive an experimental yet highly efficient medicine, TMC-207. Delamanid, created in France in 2008. The drug is not on the list of available drugs in Georgia. Georgia is one of 27 countries where the number of cases of tuberculosis is actually increasing. During the last 3 years, 161 people died of tuberculosis. Patients complained that treatments available in Georgia are not effective. Starting in September, the Georgian Ministry of Health will work with French doctors to teach local physicians how to use and give the medication. The TB situation in Georgia is a mess, mainly because treatment is erratic and people go off the treatment, which creates more drug resistance, and quarantine practices are quite lax. The Georgian government issued a warning not to travel to West Africa due to a deadly outbreak of Ebola that has killed 887 people since February. The disease has no vaccine and no cure. Georgia's ambassador to Ethiopia, Vakhtang Chaushvili, advised against traveling to Guinea, Liberia, and Sierra Leone. Funny, since the former head of the Civil Service Reform Bureau is currently in Sierra Leone. I don't think it's really that bad for most people there. Schools in the town of Akhalgori in South Ossetia are refusing to teach Georgian history, according to local media reports. Instead, they teach South Ossetian history. Georgian authorities provided the participants of the Geneva talks with information about the current situation. As a reminder, the Geneva talks are co-chaired by representatives from the EU, the UN, the OSCE, Georgia, Russia, and the United States, Abkhazia, and South Ossetia. The discussions were established to address the consequences of the 2008 war. The next session will be in September. Two Georgians were detained by Russian soldiers on the 1st of August outside the village of Kveshi near Gori, which borders South Ossetia. According to Interpress News, the detainees are Zakro Butkhuzi from Kveshi and Buta Balyashvili from Akhrisi. Both were taken to Skhinvali. In such cases, Georgian citizens are usually accused of violating the border and are released after paying a fine of $60 for the violation. Georgia raises the issue of releasing detainees at regular field meetings hosted by the European Union monitoring mission called the Incident Prevention and Response Mechanisms. The last meeting was on the 30th of July. The next meeting will be in September. On the 1st of August, Georgian and Russian diplomats spoke on the phone about Russia suspending the free trade agreement with Georgia that was made in 1994. Zurab Ashidze, the special representative for Russian relations, said that the official explanation for the move was that Georgia is not a member of the Russian-initiated customs union. Mayor Tbilisi Datan Narmania announced plans to remove the giant bicycle sculpture from Rose Revolution Square. Speaking to journalists on the 5th of August, he commented that such an ugly sculpture with unclear symbolism should not be there. He suggested instead to move the symbol of the previous government's 9-year rule somewhere in the city outskirts so that tourists can see their approach to building monuments and architecture. He noted that it will not be him making the decision personally, but that the relevant body and city council will work on it. As a reminder, Narmania assumed power as mayor of Tbilisi on the 2nd of August. Last week, on the 31st of July, Prime Minister Kharibashvili pardoned 280 prisoners. The president's commission reviewed 274 cases, and all the appeals were sent to the president. 169 of the pardoned prisoners are going to be released from jail, among them 5 women and 4 minors. The remaining 111 got reduced sentences. This was the first time the president's pardon commission reviewed cases of prisoners under its new leader, Zviad Koridze. His predecessor stepped down in order to run as an independent candidate in the 15th of June local elections. Aliko, who won, by the way, and has done a lot of great work on historical architectural preservation via Tbilisi Hamkari. Georgian model Anna Akhledyani was selected as the new face of Dolce & Gabbana. In September, the 18-year-old law student will go to London, Paris, and Milan to participate in Fall Fashion Week. A new local airline, Fly Vista, announced that it will have flights from Georgia to neighboring countries. The low-budget airline currently flies directly from Tbilisi to Tehran. The flight started operating on the 4th of August and will have a regular schedule twice a week, departing Tbilisi on Mondays and Thursdays. The average price for a one-way ticket is $99. The airline is expected to announce regular flights from Tbilisi to Moscow, Istanbul, Almaty, Baku, Prague, and Minsk in the future. More airline information. If you're flying from the Caucasus to the U.S., Azerbaijan Airlines will open scheduled direct flights from Baku to New York starting on the 24th of September. Ticket sales for the route open on the 1st of August. Flights to JFK Airport in New York City will run weekly on Wednesdays and Saturdays, with departure from Baku at 6 a.m., arriving in New York at 9:30 a.m. local time. Return flights will be the same day of the week, leaving New York at 11:30 and arriving in Baku at 8 a.m. the next day. Last week, Nino Gvingilia, originally from Suchumi, won the top prize at the fashion competition Benext and a scholarship to study fashion in Milan. She designs dresses and jackets. They can be seen at Comode at 45 Barnov Street in Vacche. Georgia is offering extra help to asylum seekers entering the country. On the 1st of August, special help desks were introduced at Tbilisi International Airport, where people can find information on the rights of people seeking asylum. Information is provided in Arabic, English, French, Persian, and Russian. The pace of arriving Iraqis and Syrians is increasing. Restoration work is planned in 4 villages of Georgia's mountainous regions popular with tourists and trekkers. Mutso, Dartlo, Chajashi, and Vardzia are all cultural heritage sites. The project will repair many of the villagers' damaged and destroyed buildings and restore traditional features such as slate roofs. Restoration works in Mutso, Dartlo, and Chajishi will be funded by the government of Georgia, while conservation costs relating to Vardzia, the 12th-century cave city in southern Georgia, will be covered by World Bank loans. Georgian government announced a new public project to help establish small businesses in the regions. The project was presented at the Economic Council meeting on the 31st of July by the Deputy Minister of Economy, Kitty Bocharashvili. Every stakeholder will be entitled to receive up to 5,000 lari in financial aid from the state. In addition, stakeholders will receive educational and informational support to establish and develop their small enterprises. The project will launch in September as part of the state development program Produce in Georgia. A new winter resort will open in the Ajada Mountains. Prime Minister Kharibashvili announced on the 3rd of August. Construction is underway for ski resort Gorderdzi, which will boast the longest ski trail in the region. Nothing to do with the previous national movement plan to do that, by the way, which remained unmentioned. More than a dozen Georgian wine companies showcased their produce at the 2014 Beijing International Wine Exposition held in the capital of China from the 29th to the 31st of July. Among 16 wine companies on display were well-known Georgian winemakers Taliani Valley, King's Marouli Corporation, Winery Khareba, Shumi, and Kimeroni. The exhibition allowed participants the opportunity to meet potential business partners among China's top wine importers. Parliament approved an amendment that will make stricter rules for the use of secret surveillance by the state. According to the changes, the state may use secret surveillance in cases when it is a necessary and proportionate means to achieve legitimate goals such as national security and crime, as well as my personal favorite, and I quote, avoiding disorder, end quote. The amendment states for which categories of crime secret surveillance can be carried out and against whom. Persons may be targeted who are directly related to crime or if a person with whom they have communication is related to the crime. The charges make it obligatory to inform the person that he is under secret surveillance and that they can appeal it. 76 MPs voted for the legislative amendments against zero. Changes are applied to criminal law proceedings code. The process of amending the legislation is not finalized. However, it is yet to be decided who will have access to the key of surveillance data. Now, what they mean by that is the Hoover they have to the servers of all of the mobile phone companies and internet providers. So those still exist, and it goes right into the Interior Ministry. So the question is whether or not they're going to remove that tap. There's also disagreement about whether law enforcement bodies should be able to listen to the target's conversations without notifying the communication company, as they currently have, which is completely illegal. Parliament is putting together an 18-member working group to work on the issue. The group has until the 1st of November to prepare a draft bill. The legislative amendments were authorized by the campaign This Affects You, which emphasizes that the issue of access to servers of mobile operators is the most important issue regarding legislative amendments. On the 1st of August, Parliament also adopted a resolution calling on various state agencies and ministries to address most of the recommendations laid out by the Public Defender's annual human rights report. Among the public defender's recommendation is a proposal to establish an independent mechanism for looking into complaints filed regarding cases of human rights violations by law enforcement agencies. Parliament stopped short of outright endorsing the recommendation, saying that the proposal is noteworthy. Other recommendations of the resolution call on the Ministry of Prisons to provide more transparent procedures in the transfer of inmates from one prison to another, as well as to provide more tools for the public defender's representatives while monitoring penitentiary facilities. Parliament is also working on a draft land code to introduce new regulations that will advantage Georgian citizens over foreigners when it comes to buying land. According to the Georgian Dream Member of Parliament, Zakaria Kutsunashvili, locals should have more opportunities to buy land, particularly when it comes to purchasing land from the state. Citizens of Georgia will be able to buy 25 hectares of land, while foreigners will only be able to purchase much less, though the final figure is not yet determined. A number of other regulations will also be introduced. Residency requirements is under discussion as a condition of foreign investors to buy land, as well as experience in agriculture and bank documents showing sufficient investment capital. There will be two categories of foreigners wishing to buy agricultural land. The first are for those who intend only to invest, and the second for those who want to live in the country. So essentially, they plan to kill any international investment in agricultural land purchasing via a gazillion little ridiculous regulations that it's unsure how they will fare in the court. As a reminder, a moratorium on foreigners buying land in Georgia was overturned as unconstitutional in June, a court case brought by Transparency International Georgia and former Tabeel Pod mascot Matthias Hooter. Kvitis Azrebi this week, journalist and critic Dato Bukrikidze talked about the recent changes in the Ministry of Culture. The new minister appointed in July by Kharibashvili Misha Giorgadze has experience with jazz, but he argues that he needs more, that we need a minister that can give the country's cultural life a new force and have an impact in the regions. The journalist compares the situation as an all too familiar scene of a Georgian man with a hangover drinking Borjomi, hoping that it will make the night before better. The meme this week is a photo published online by Tabula magazine of a ruined wheelchair ramp on the corner of Pekini and Budapest streets in Tbilisi. The ramp was part of the Tree of Life project funded by the Bank of Georgia. 1 month after it was put in, the ramp was blocked when the street was being fixed and was replaced by an elevated street curb. No more ramp. Stuff to Read, a photo essay by Democracy and Freedom Watch about school conditions for children in the predominantly Azeri village of Lombalo. The village's school was sold and then dismantled in 2012. Construction of the new school began only in 2014 and is ongoing. Students have their classes in barns, cattle houses, and an old bread house, and many don't go to class because of the bad conditions. UN Human Rights Commission report on the state of human rights in Georgia. While the committee praised Georgia's progress and adoption of various legislation to improve basic human rights in Georgia, it was concerned about the underrepresentation of women in the decision-making positions in legislative and executive bodies. Paul Rimple and Justina Mikowitz report for EurasianNet.org on the problem of teenage prostitution in Georgia and holes in the state's social programs. Watch a new promotional video released by the Georgia Department of Tourism enticing you to visit a unique mountainous country, because when you travel to Georgia, every moment counts, every night is a ride, every road is a journey. Absolutely true. Another great Vimeo video on Kazantip, very nicely done, of some young Russian-looking guy with a yellow suitcase walking around. Agenda.ge reports on an archaeological discovery carried out by the Georgian National Museum near Mskheta, with artifacts that are believed to be over 4,000 years old. It seems an ancient civilization was able to preserve fruit for centuries. Comes with some nice pictures. An article in The Guardian about debates regarding international surrogacy laws after a surrogate baby was abandoned with its birth mother after it was discovered the child had Down syndrome. The article looks at international surrogacy practices with regards to Georgia. All these things will be posted under Stuff to Read in the forum. This week's GeoCapital number is 65.3. This is the percentage of Georgian wine exports for the first 7 months of 2014 going to Russia. Georgia exported over 31 million bottles of wine thus far in 2014, according to the National Wine Agency of Georgia. Ukraine was previously the largest market before Russia lifted the embargo on Georgian goods. Amirani Movie Theater, close to Philharmonia, has daily English movies. This week until the 13th of August, you can watch Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles in 3D. On the 9th and 13th of August, Guardians of the Galaxy 3D at 8 p.m. For the month of August, Namkino, across from Rustavelli McDonald's, will be showing on Friday the 8th of August, Big Fish. Saturday the 9th, Corpse Bride. 10th of August, Sunday, Sweeney Todd. All movies are at 7 p.m. Here in New York City, the Museum of Modern Art, in partnership with the Berkeley Art Museum and Pacific Film Archive, will host an exhibition, Discovering Georgia Cinema Part 1, A Family Affair, from the 23rd of September to the 16th of October. Part 1 focuses on one of the peculiarities of Georgian cinema, the remarkable lines of familial relationships that move through Georgian cinema production from the 20s to the present. Part 2, Blue Mountains and Beyond, will run from the 22nd of November to the 21st of December. I think this is also going to be in San Francisco as well, or at least in the Bay Area somewhere. The schedule is not really up yet, but keep your eyes peeled. If you are in Portland, Oregon, and looking for some great Georgian food, go to Kargigogo, the Georgian food cart pod. They sell badrijani, lobiani, khingali, khajapuri, and more. Tell your Portland, Oregon friends to check it out, or those driving up and down the West Coast. For more information, go to kargigogo.com or look up Kargigogo PDX on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. That's it for this week. My Twitter address is at TXTBUK. Our email is spielpod@gmail.com or post to the forum on our website, www.spielpod.com. Originally by Iggy Pop from his album Lust for Life that he wrote on the S-Bahn in Berlin with a cover version. This is Susie and the Banshees and her 1987 version of The Passenger.
city's ripped back style.